where Norwalk comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Life has its own ideas of how things come about. And if you just hang in there, life is gonna work it out. Help is on the way from places you don't know about today. From friends you may not have met yet. Believe me when I say I know help is on the way.
That beautiful voice and composition, none other than my dear, dear friend David Friedman, who is joining us on the show after a little bit of a hiatus because of your own, David, your recovery from your own situation. How are you feeling?
Better. I had some reflux surgery and hiatal hernia surgery, and I believe it was successful, but it's taking a long time to get my voice back, to get my... I'm eating everything, so that's good, but chewing 1,000 times. it's, you know, don't let anybody tell you, oh, it's just surgery, it's fine. Surgery is surgery. You know, I'm grateful to people who had it before and to certain doctors who advised me and said, yeah, yeah, this is going to be hard. So, day by day, getting better.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm so happy to speak to you. I have to come over again and say hi.
Yes. You. Yeah, do. So, loved it when you visited.
Yeah. 203-333-9422 if you want to be part of the conversation with the talented, extraordinary David Friedman. David, there is an anti-masker who was arrested after punching a flight attendant in a mid-air rage on an American Airlines flight from New York to California. It was so bad that they had to divert the flight to Denver, and the flight attendant with a bloodied face had to go to the hospital. One of the passengers said, I understand that he actually punched her twice. I did see her walk back down the aisle afterwards. She had blood spattered on the outside of her mask. If you're not prepared to wear a mask, you're not prepared to fly is kind of the moral of the story. So when you hear that filtered through your lens, and you're the founder of Thought Exchange and a bit of a philosopher, what's your thought about all this?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I write books like We Can Be Kind and songs like that. Help me on the way.
Right.
It's my feeling about the challenge of these things is that we have to go, you know, the behavior is so crazy. We have to figure out, what is the root of this? What is the source of this? So, you know, there's the challenges in this country. We have people who want different things. And how do both sides get what they want without injuring or attacking or forcing to change the other side? So, there are people who want to wear masks, and there are people who don't. Now, the people who want to wear masks feel endangered by people who don't. So, if you don't want to wear a mask, that's fine with me, but do not be around me.
But wait a minute, David, let me stop you right there. Is it rational? Is it a rat? You know, here's one of the problems. We were all, quote unquote, taught in the beginning of this public health crisis that everybody needed to wear a mask because everybody potentially contained a communicable dangerous disease. Well, now those people that could have caught that disease have been able to arm themselves with a vaccination. And not only a vaccination, but they can also wear a mask. So how realistic, I'm just posing this as a matter of science. How realistic or rational is it to be afraid of somebody not wearing a mask if you yourself are vaccinated and you want to wear a mask? How rational is it to be afraid of somebody sitting next to you who's not wearing one?
Well, it depends, you know, because remember, the big thing is that some people think this is baloney and some people think they don't know all the facts, et cetera, et cetera. So if I am uncomfortable, like, you know, if I'm with you, like if you came to my house and you said, David, I'm uncomfortable with you not wearing a mask. And I don't think there's any reason to not wear a mask, but because you're another person, I'll say, I'll do that to make you comfortable. Now, in terms of a democracy and the law and the majority, if there's a ruling by a private company that you can pay us to travel and you have to wear a mask, and if you don't want to wear a mask, then don't pay us to travel. We actually lose the money, but this is our comfort level. So people are ignoring other people's comfort level. Now, the challenge is really to look at people who don't want to wear a mask and their comfort level. How do we honor them and allow them, but yet they shouldn't impede on our comfort level? You know, it's sort of like you will have liberals screaming that conservatives are attacking and blocking them at abortion clinics, and yet a liberal will throw paint on someone with a fur coat.
That's right. Very well
said. So we all think we're right. And the question is, like, you know, what I think I've said to you once, you know, traffic lights. There might be people who really don't want to be impinged upon by, why should I have to stop? But the majority and the rule has said that, so you obey it. It's that, how do we honor everybody? But because there are a lot of people who say, oh, the vaccine is a fake and this is not, you know, we're going through
that. So you know what? I have, so let's talk about that. So let's talk about it. First of all, with respect to the airline and being a private business, it's they have a right to be a private business, but let's acknowledge the fact that many of them have almost exclusive routes to places, and that we in America enjoy our freedom to travel. And very often, if we can't get on a plane on that route to go there, it is depriving us as a practical matter of our right to travel. Let's be honest about that.
If you insist that it's your right to travel, there is a way that you can get on that plane, which is to wear a mask.
Right. But, okay, so let's talk about the accommodation piece, because you know me, it's the mediator in me.
Yes, right.
So what if we said to people who didn't want to wear a mask, you have to wear a mask, let's say, when you're boarding, because you're physically close to people, and you have to wear a mask if you want to go to the bathroom or be in the aisle, because you're physically close to people. But if you really don't want to wear a mask, then you have to buy two seats and sit in a window and do that for the time that you're in flight.
Let me just say, this is the accommodation piece.
And you agree that I don't have to have a flight attendant serve you a drink or food because I don't have to have any of my employees leaning over you.
Yes, but I think they would say, why am I a second-class citizen, and
We're making an exception for you. Because we are making an exception for you to accommodate you because you don't want to be part of everybody else. And there's a rational basis that we believe still exists to ask people to still wear masks, notwithstanding the fact that you don't think that there's a rational basis. We'll make this accommodation for you, but it will cost you more money.
My feeling is, to play devil's advocate, I still think they would say, you're full of baloney, there's no reason, and why should I? Because I believe I don't need to wear a mask, and you believe you do, and you're no better or more wise than I. Why should I have to pay more to do that? And I think that there is this, there's another issue underlying it, which is that I want my freedom. I want my rights. I insist on this, and I don't care how it impinges on you. Now, they could say, you people with the masks don't care how it impinges on me.
That's right.
But
they do say that.
The majority and the people who run the airline. I mean, does the airline have a right to decide those parameters legally?
Well, they clearly do. They definitely do.
Right.
Because they have a rational reason for doing so. So don't you think, we're chatting with David Freedman, that part of the reason we're in this place is because there has been a failure of leadership, national and state and medical and otherwise, to get us reentry? I think that that's the failure we're in right now. We should be having metrics of reentry, and they should be established norms. You're never going to be able to reduce the risk of a communicable disease. We always flew during flu season, and people could wear a mask. They look, Asians, many Asians always wore masks on planes when I would fly. Not many,
oh, yeah.
but some.
Yeah.
Because they were
yeah.
used to it in China. So, okay. So we have destigmatized masks in the Western world. We will now not look at people like they're crazy, and you can wear your mask. But do you have to wear a mask? Why? We have to have metrics for reentry, and I think we're being failed by leadership in not having that.
Now, let me ask you this. You see, let's just say that the airlines are looking at this purely as business. I mean, I have a lot of friends, not a lot, but some, who will not eat in a restaurant yet because people don't wear masks when they're sitting and eating. And they're afraid.
Right.
So
okay.
if the airline says, which will lose me more customers, opening it up so people cannot wear masks if they choose, or in which case maybe many, many people who would fly if everyone was masked will not fly, or the opposite. Like, for instance, I just went to ACT Theater to see Smokey Joe's Cafe. They invited me up. Dan Levine is a very good friend of mine. And I went to the theater. When you arrived at the theater, there was someone standing outside who took your temperature. He said, you don't even need to show your ticket. I'll find you on the list. You may not be inside at any point without a mask. And here's hand sanitizer. And that's what they did. So they let everybody know these are the rules, and we're being very. And it was a full house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people would not go if they said, well, masks are optional? So
I don't know.
The airlines might lose more customers. You know, I'm flying to California this week. I'm going to Palm Springs. And I might feel uncomfortable if I felt, oh, people are sitting on the plane without masks.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is,
the underlying deeper thing is because
of the last 4 years, we've come to really not trust science. We've come to be able to say, I don't believe that and I don't care about the facts. So we've come to say, I am entitled. It's really a characterological thing that has happened and from leadership. And so we don't feel safe. We don't feel, a lot of people don't believe the science. There are people who say, oh, baloney. You know, it's not spread that way, or the vaccine doesn't really do anything, and it doesn't matter what numbers they see. So,
that may be true. It may not matter to some people what numbers they see, but it matters to me.
It matters to me too.
Because I'm a rational person. And
right.
in Connecticut today, over 22,000 tests were done last week, and only 1.6% of people were found to be positive. We have 194 people. We've broken the 200 number down.
Right.
We only have 194 people in the hospital with COVID. It means
right.
that our healthcare system is not in danger of crashing anytime soon. And there
right.
is not, as a matter of actuality in Connecticut, a public health crisis for COVID right now. There just isn't. There just isn't. There might be in the future. There was in the past, but there isn't now. And
so who would decide how we open it up?
That's the failure of leadership. That's where mm-hmm. we have people that are so conditionally zero tolerance for any risk. And we have, unfortunately, a lot of people in our population that are now zero tolerance for any risk.
Right.
And then we have the people, as you said, that didn't agree with science to begin with, and they're 100% tolerance for every risk. So we have
right.
those two extremes. But in between is me, is you, are people that need guidance about the rational metrics for reasonable reentry. That's what we need.
And then when we get that guidance, some people are not, like, for instance, my grandmother, you know, my Jewish grandmother, yeah. Whenever she went out of the
was
house.
Was she Jewish? Really, David? I couldn't tell. Really?
I know,
was she
darling.
Jewish?
It's hard to tell. I disguise it. But, you know, my grandmother, whenever she went out of the house, unplugged every appliance so there shouldn't be a fire.
No way.
Oh, yes.
No way.
So there are always people who, and when you think about it, the person who attacks the flight attendant is a very radical, I not only want to not wear the mask, I don't care what you think, I am angry or impinging on my rights, and I'm going to go over the line. That's a radical, radical person.
It's oh, yeah. Well, that person is going to jail. That person
right.
is going
they
to jail.
They should. And they
absolutely.
Should.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, Lisa, it's sort of like when you're raising your children or in school, you say, we don't hit. You know,
right.
you just,
right.
there's certain things that are
right.
beyond the realm of
right.
rational, normal behavior.
Good luck, by the way. On the way to Palm Springs, you're going to find, I did, and I flew JetBlue, and JetBlue was still my favorite airline, but I
yeah.
found such a dour, such a, oh boy, these flight attendants, they haven't been trained to be police officers, but some of them act like it. One woman reported me as being aggressive because I came to the gate because there was a indefinite delay on the flight that I was supposed to go on. And so I came to the gate for Hartford and the gates hadn't closed yet. And I said, can I get on that flight? And she said to me, you're being aggressive. You're raising your voice. And she called someone on me. So I said, I'm
really?
Not. I don't. Yes. Yes. And they didn't come after me because I think this woman must cry wolf all day long. But
yeah.
She was like freaked out because I said, can I please get on that flight? There's an indefinite delay on the one into Westchester and I need to get home. I'm sorry. I said, all you had to do was tell me the flight was full.
Yeah.
I mean, she was like insane.
Yeah.
Get out of the
yeah.
way. Get out of the way. Oh, my God. They're,
well,
I'm telling you.
That. Let's look yeah. at how frightened people are. You
so
know, when
frightened.
Years ago, I worked for American Airlines. I did the music for their marketing meetings. And they'd fly me all over the country, first class. And I was always greeted, like in L.A., by the celebrity handler there who'd greet me at the
mm-hmm.
plane and
yep.
bring me to the Admiral's Club. And if I ever flew American and I said, hey, I'm in coach, can you upgrade me? They do all sorts of things. Once
yes.
9/11 happened,
no
they
way,
could
huh?
get fired for doing anything
yeah.
out of the ordinary.
Right. Isn't that crazy? I
and
used to
so,
work for TWA and I was a VIP escort. I would have been meeting you at the plane.
That was the person who met me. And he said,
yes.
I don't know how to do my job because my job is to make celebrities feel special
yeah.
and I can't do anything.
Can't
and so he just said, I'm just waiting to retire. So
now, you know what it is, David? You have yeah. to fly private now. You have to be a super mega millionaire.
Just in my own jet. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
And so
all right, David.
The question is, again, all I can do is I can be civil. I can be gracious. I can follow the rules. I can look at other people and understand them. But we are in a culture where people really feel I'm right, you're wrong, no discussion, no argument, and anything goes. And this,
yeah.
frankly, is the example we've had for the last years yeah. in our leadership. And
David, I got to run.
All right.
I got to run. David
run.
Friedman, composer, philosopher, extraordinaire. You'll be back next week. We'll chat more.
Okay. See you next week, Lisa.
All right. We'll be right back.